Today's lesson is about that strange word, call. You know, that's sort of a churchy kind of word, isn't it? We're not quite sure what it means. And maybe we might say, call? God has never spoken to me and certainly never called me on the phone. Or you might say, well, call, that's for the apostles and for clergy. That doesn't apply to me. Well, the truth is, God calls each and every one of us to ministry in one way or another. And it's not so much about being church, but rather doing ministry in the world. It's not so much about, oh my goodness, am I really called to do more at church? I already washed the dishes twice this week. No, it's not like that. God calls us to whatever ministry God knows that we can handle. Yeah, it doesn't require any special skills. It doesn't mean that we are exceptionally spiritual or that we should be exceptionally spiritual. Just take the two men we heard in the gospel today who were called, Samuel in the Old Testament and then Nathanael in the gospel. Neither of them were particularly interested in being called to what they were called to, but God called them anyway. So take Samuel. He's kind of a fascinating character. His mother, Hannah, wants to have children. So she prays to God, oh, if you just let me have children, I'll give my firstborn to service to the Lord. Well, you know, it's not always the safe thing to bargain with God, because sure enough, Samuel is born and she keeps her word. She takes, right after he's weaned, she takes him to the temple and offers him as a servant to Eli, and that's where he spends his life. So, you know, 12 years pass, and so now he's age 12, he is now considered a man. And the scene starts this morning. It's maybe 1,100 years before Jesus is born. That's a time frame. And in those days, God hasn't been calling a lot of prophets, or there haven't been a lot of visions or anything. So Eli has absolutely no expectation about what is going to happen. But his main job, of course, is Samuel. His main job is serving Eli, who's losing his sight. So Samuel is sleeping in the temple at the ready in case Eli needs him. And he's woken up, he hears, Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up and runs to Eli. Lord, you called? No, I didn't call. So he goes back to sleep and he hears again, Samuel, you called? He runs to Eli. No, Eli says, I didn't call you. And by the third time this happens, Eli figures it out. It's not me calling. The next time, listen carefully, because this is the Lord speaking to you. So once again, Samuel, Samuel. And this 12-year-old man says, yes, Lord, I am listening. I'll do what you ask. And Samuel is called. And then God tells him exactly what he does not want to hear. God tells him, Eli is not going to continue the line of priesthood. Eli's time is done. He's going to die. His sons will not take over. You, Samuel, will take over. And in the morning, Eli says, well, what did God tell you? He's like, you want to tell your boss that he's going to die, he's getting fired, and his kids are no good? No, but he does. He does tell Eli, and God walks with Samuel the rest of his life, and he becomes known for his honesty and his trustworthiness, and whatever he says, people listen. And eventually, he appoints two kings of Israel, first Saul and then David. So God calls Samuel out of this out of this place where we least expect it. Kind of like the way we are called to ministry, where we least expect it. And certainly any of us can be called. And you might say, well, yeah, Samuel spent his night sleeping in the temple just waiting for God to talk to him. And you're not going to spend your night sleeping in the church just waiting for God to talk to you. Yeah, you know, there might be some truth to that, because if we're not paying attention, if we're not willing to listen to God, God pretty much allows us to be slackers. But if we're willing to listen, then we will be fully drawn into who and what we are meant to be. Are we willing to say, here I am listening? When we do, God hears us. He may even call us by name, or tap us on the shoulder, or call us to ministry by an invitation of another voice. Someone says, you know, can you help with this? Or I think you would be good at that, or whatever. And it isn't until after some time when we're living into this ministry that we look back and say, yes, this is what I was meant to do. This is the ministry that God called me to. Listen for the invites. Listen for the voice of God. Listen for the feeling in your heart. All of us are called to ministry in one way or another. I remember when I was going through the discernment process, and the parish discernment committee had just decided to recommend me for seminary. One woman, some of you know her, Carol Dittmeyer, she was a special woman here at St. Luke's, and she said, it is so amazing that God just looks around the room and says, I choose you. And right at that moment, I thought my question that I had been asking for months and months and months had been answered, because my question had always been, why me? And the answer, of course, is why not? God calls all of us and walks with us when he calls us and gives us the gifts we need when we need them. There are no special qualifications to be called by God. Then consider the gospel. You know, God calls Philip, and then Philip goes to Daniel, who's sitting under a fig tree, taking a little rest in the shade, and says, I found Jesus, I found the Messiah. I found him, come on, see. And of course, Nathaniel is very skeptical, but he goes. A few words with Jesus, and he knows that he is following the Messiah, and he becomes a dedicated apostle. Can we say, Lord, I am listening. What is it that you would have me do? What is it that you want from me? And when God calls us, if we have this inkling, we know that something should be done, and we're willing to go. And we're even willing to go out on a limb. But we're probably not willing to go out into the streets. Anything but evangelism. Doesn't God know we are Episcopalians? But remember, God ignored all of those temple rules, rules about hierarchy and who's who and what comes next. God just ignores all those rules and called out Samuel, the youngest person in the temple, and said, "This, you are the one I choose to be the next leader." And so we too are called out, sometimes in the least expected ways. And I think probably we are all called to evangelism. We are all called to tell others about the Messiah, about our relationship with Christ, what it means to us, because we want everyone everyone to know the love of Christ, just as we do. Jimmy Carter tells a story. He and Rosalind would go out and do all kinds of faith witnessing. And he wrote in his book, The Living Faith, that he was preparing to speak to a Christian's men's group. And as part of that preparation, he took account, as best he could, of the number of people that he had witnessed to. And he counted 140 people. Now that seems like quite a bit, you know. I was thinking about that. You know, the form that we had on our pledge form, how many people are you going to talk about your faith with? I bet, how many, raise your hand if you put at least 140. Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't either. But then Jimmy Carter got to thinking, well, back in 1966, when he was running for governor, he said that he thought that he shook hands with 300,000 people. And he extolled his good points, and he asked for their support. He says, I asked 300,000 people for my support, but only 140 to affirm Jesus. And when he realized that terrible indifference those numbers brought to him, he fell to his knees. What would the world be like if we invited everyone that we saw to a relationship with Jesus? Can you imagine what the world would be like if every single politician invited someone to a closer relationship with God, however they understand God? Can you imagine what the world would be like? And what if we invited every single friend and family member and neighbor and a coworker that we encountered and said, come and see. Come and see. And if we witness to God's love, what a difference it would make in our lives. What a difference it would make in our world. Is that what we're called to? And can we say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Amen.